Today on the Sound Rider Show, a good friend of Sound Rider takes a deer strike. The Seattle Cossacks are celebrating 80 years. Of course, we're going to be talking about the rally in the gorge. And hey, it's August, so we've got some hot weather riding tips. All that and so much more on the Sound Rider Show. Stick around.
This is David Christensen with Tucker Rocky. Welcome to the Sound Rider Show.
Now live from the Crow's Nest Studio in beautiful downtown Broadview, Washington, join us for the latest episode of the Sound Rider Show, a candid hour featuring the people, places, and things that make up the fabric of one of the top motorcycle riding destinations in the world. And now here are your hosts, Tom Marin, Derek Roberts, and whoever else happens to drop by today.
Motorcycle riders from around the world and across the Pacific Northwest, this is the Sound Riders Show, the August episode, and we would like to welcome you and thank you for tuning in. I, of course, am Derek Roberts, joined by publisher of Sound Rider and fellow host, Tom Marin. Tom, it's been a busy July for you, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
Been good. I've got a couple things I've been working on.
Yeah, I know this is obviously the busy season for all of us around here at Sound Rider.
Yeah, and then it got really busy because I got contacted by a special group.
Oh, yeah?
To work on this project called Maples.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Well, I don't know why they called me, but they wanted to connect with the motorcycle world first in doing this.
Okay.
So, and I can talk about it now because I guess that they've solidified it enough. So it's called Motorcycle Accessory Parts Locator Service.
Gotcha.
So you know how when you go to the shop and you need like a drain bolt for your bike, but they don't have it?
Sure.
And you find out that the nearest one is somewhere in Colorado.
Yeah, miles away. Yeah, that happens. Yeah,
that's like a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So there's this consortium made up of people from the KGB, the CIA, Edward Snowden,
uh-oh,
and Cambridge Analytics.
Okay.
And they wanted to test it first on motorcycle parts.
All right. I'm with you so far.
So what they're doing is they're taking every ounce of their spy technology.
Yeah.
And they are inventorying people's homes. And, you know, you don't need to go in someone's house anymore to inventory. You just use like infrared.
Or yeah.
You fly your drone over when the Amazon truck's pulling up or
you
whatever.
Just ask your Google Alexa or whatever it may be, right? They just, they'll tap in.
Yeah.
They're listening, yeah.
Yeah, because you're listening to what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you find out they have the drain plug at their house that you need.
Right.
And they're three blocks from you. So they want to launch this service in like 2020.
Okay.
I don't know who's going to buy it, but kind of freaky.
Well, I mean, I got to just say I'm impressed. The CIA to extend the olive branch. The KGB, okay, I can buy that. But to Edward Snowden, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that was, I never actually saw him during the meetings.
Right, I gotcha.
But they Skyped him in, but he always had like a bag over his head. So.
Yeah. I assume, you know, he's in Russia somewhere, I think, still. But that's a M-A-P-L-S, Maples, huh?
Yeah, Maples.
Well, here I thought it had
rhymes with Marla.
Yeah. Here I thought it had something to do with syrup, but no, it's just a part locator.
Yeah, it was a nice acronym that people might be able to remember.
Now, have you had any trouble recently finding parts? Is there anything that you think they may have maybe pulled off of your experience and said, you know, we need to pull this guy into the fold?
Yeah, so they discontinued the air filter from Honda for my motorcycle. It's only available as an MGO unit now.
Uh-oh. Which motorcycle did they
keep? The NX650.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's by Honda terms. That's relatively new. That's from the 80s, right?
88,
yeah. And they went and they canceled that?
Well, they did cancel anything that's 12 years or older once they're out of it.
I got you.
That's kind of the way it works.
Sure. So. That's just like how it was at my house, 12 years old, out the door.
So, let's see. Yeah, I've been working on that, and now we'll get into the true stuff.
Right.
I went down to central eastern Oregon, and I was enjoying prime rib at Hamley Steakhouse.
Ah.
Never miss that if you ever go there. But I was working on an article about the emigrant trail from Pendleton down to Le Grand and going back and forth on it.
Interesting.
And stopping at all the kiosks and reading about the people who came here on wagons starting in 1843 and
nice.
Building my history up.
Yeah, a little historical perspective. I like that.
Yeah, I was checking out the road and it's in different conditions along different areas based on where the repave cycle is.
Right.
So some of it's got a lot of Band-Aids on potholes and stuff. Others are chip seals, and one of them had a fresh grind on it. So different in every spot, but you're riding a little bit of history. And it's a lot more fun than going up over Interstate 84 through the Blue Mountains.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what did anything, and I'm sure you'll elaborate on this on the forthcoming article, but is there one thing that maybe you can tease us with that stood out historically? You always, you were stopping and kind of taking in the scenery and reading some of the mile post markers and that kind of thing. Anything that stood out?
Just the view that you see that they saw the first time they crested that mountain on the west side, up there past Dead Men Pass. And, you know, they called it a sea of grass.
Right.
And it was all grassland. Now it's all wheatland. But it is beautiful. And it's, you know, it's kind of like they knew they were getting close. And that was the big sign, was when they come out of the mountains there, then they knew they had – they still had to go through the Cascades and all.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's one of the kind of – the underrated things about looking back through a historical perspective like this is, you know, we get so spoiled, especially in the Pacific Northwest here, that we see great view after great view. But can you imagine coming all that way and seeing that for the first time?
Yeah.
And probably the last time, because once you pass through it, you know, you might not be going back the other way. That's something that I really enjoy about these sort of historical perspectives is gaining that insight and recognizing just how lucky we are to be able to ride out here in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, the other thing that's interesting about it is where do you think they were as the wagon train was proceeding?
Relative to –
you think they were sitting in the wagon?
Oh, I don't know. Walking alongside it maybe?
They walked.
Yeah.
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 It only got to go in the wagon if you were sick.
Right.
And you didn't want to be in a wagon because, you know, it didn't have, like, the really nice suspension on the wagon back then or anything. It was rugged.
Yeah, they put you in the wagon to kill you, put you out of your misery.
But all your possessions were in the wagon. And then, of course, every time you hit a toll gate, you'd be bartering away possessions.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. But, you know, when you think about it now, when you ride down a road like that, you realize there's – hundreds of people who blood, sweat, and tears is why that road is there now, today, for you to enjoy. It's a lot of fun now. It wasn't a lot of fun in a wagon.
Right. But. Yeah, it wasn't. It's not a necessity necessarily now. You can just go down there and enjoy it. But really looking forward to that article, though. I think that's a neat take, something that I hope to see more of as we kind of go through the years here. I think those historical articles are always some of my favorites on SoundRider.
Yeah. So then another little project I had going on was I spent a weekend out at the Ridge Motorsports Park videotaping a track day out there.
Very nice.
So we're putting together, hopefully, it'll be a nice little promotional video, and we'll have that in the fall.
Yeah. But
certainly not before the fall.
Right.
You heard that, right, client?
Yeah.
It's not going to be before the fall.
I got a few things to work on here to wrap up the summer, but you know, it's going to be really cool. I'm always excited when we can promote, you know, any asset, any facet of motorcycling. And track day is something we always talk about. You know, it's a good way to expand your skill envelope. Even if you don't think you're going to be a racer or something like that, you can always learn a lot about the potential of your motorcycle and just how to handle it at normal highway speeds.
Yeah, and then there's people who would tell me that they don't even ride in the street anymore. They only ride at the track, which I think is a shame.
Interesting.
Because when I ride in the street, I get the experience of the trip that I'm taking.
Right.
If I go around in a circle on a track all day long, that to me isn't the same. There may be some more exhilarating moments because you get to go faster.
Sure.
But you're not getting the experience of that trip, that place you're going to, the restaurants, the people.
Right, absolutely.
The sights.
Yeah.
And I like that. I want that when I ride.
Well, I think that's touring is, for me anyway, is always the highlight. But in short bursts, those afternoons where you're just working on your skill set, that can be a heck of a lot of fun too.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Everybody should do it. I just don't want to get into the habit of it.
You know?
And then make that my only way I ride a motorcycle? No way.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Be like taking the bus everywhere and only using your car at the track.
Hey, there you go. Right. But don't take your car to a motorcycle track day.
Yeah.
Because they won't let you on.
Not on the same day. At least I hope not. That would make for an interesting track day.
Speaking of promoting, saw an interesting headline go by here the other day about how the Washington Attorney General is suing Facebook, and they have come to an agreement to stop allowing people who purchase advertising to segregate their advertising based on sexual orientation, religion, age. And I looked at that and I thought, hey, oh man, that's a punch in the gut to us. It's not that we abuse it or we do anything bad.
Right.
But when we want to hit a certain market segment, surely the age thing, you know, we're trying to reach younger riders all the time. So some of our campaigns, we want to focus right at them, and now we won't be able to. And that's a shame.
And by all accounts, too, it sounds like Facebook was pretty, I don't want to say eager, but they weren't in such a hurry to put up a fight to this either, it didn't seem like.
I don't think after what happened with Cambridge that they're going to put up a lot of fight about anything, because our attorney general did it, there's probably 49 other AGs that are standing in line. And the word is that this is going to work itself out through the entire marketing, not just Washington State.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting for a lot of reasons, but I wonder too, because you know, Facebook has a an office that's growing here in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you wonder maybe if there's some sort of political implication there. Maybe they felt like this was a smart move because they want to continue to expand their office up here. Maybe it's a little more affordable to do business for them in Seattle with still a sizable tech population to service their worker needs. You wonder, too, we talked a little bit off air, if maybe they just felt like, hey, you know what? For certain instances, this is just going to mean that advertisers are going to have to buy more advertising because there's going to be money going to groups that aren't.
And we're going to be flushing 95% of our ad dollars down the toilet.
Yeah.
So if you know, my advice to the listeners is if you have a Facebook account, be sure that you note in there that one of your hobbies is riding a motorcycle. If you're tired of watching Jiffy Pop ads come up in your feed that mean nothing to you, at least if you tell it you ride a motorcycle, you can even put down the brand, the model.
Yeah.
Then you might start seeing more motorcycle ads in your feed, and some of those might be of interest to you.
That's
right.
Might
be a rally, might be a new bike release, who knows?
Yeah, but I would say, you know, don't just, you know, poo-poo the whole Jiffy Pop thing. I'm about ready to release my muffler pack for Jiffy Pop so that you can make fresh popcorn while you're in between touring stops. So.
Oh, you're going to do that at the Gorge, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Cool.
Exhaust flavored.
Well, speaking of the Gorge, we're going to be talking about the rally in the Gorge shortly.
Yeah.
We'll take a little break right now. When we come back, we got news bites.
Support for Soundrider and the Soundrider Show is made possible by
Skagit Power Sports. Check out the North Sound's largest selection of bikes from names like Yamaha, Kawasaki, KTM, and Suzuki. Located just off I-5 in Burlington, Skagit Power Sports also features a large selection of riding gear, apparel, and an experienced staff to help you along the way. Visit Skagit Power Sports today.
Hello, I'm David Paul. I live in Green Bank, Washington. I ride regularly on a 2006 F650 GS, and my favorite rides are down in the Gorge.
Hi, this is Don Doherty with All Moto Tire, and you're listening to the Sound Rider Show.
Riding on into the News Bite segment here on the August episode of the Sound Rider Show. And oh dear.
Oh dear.
There's some local.
A deer strike on
deer
one of
strike.
Our own.
That's right. Hitting close to home here. Real local.
So yesterday I was looking on the social media, and a video came up of one of our regular guys, Bob Owen, who has many Sasquatch miles under his belt.
Yeah.
Has done the pre-riding of Sasquatch many years, and took a deer strike. And kind of funny, because he hit the pavement sitting up.
Really?
So I contacted him and said, how are you doing?
Yeah.
He says, I'm just a little bruised up. I could have ridden out of there
good.
If I wanted to.
Yeah.
So he's just hanging out at home now. And I'm happy that, you know, it wasn't worse than that. He lost a bag off one side of the bike. The bike looked like it hit the dirt pretty good, but apparently it's not banged up too bad.
Well, and how about the status of the deer?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to call the deer later today.
Yeah. Well, Bob should have did he listen to last month's episode? Because I think my tip and trick was to look out for deer.
And wasn't my tip to aim for the butt?
I don't know. You may have added that in there. I'll have to
and
go
when
back
I
and
watched
listen.
The
yeah.
video of him crashing, he hit the deer up at the head point.
Oh, see, you can't do that.
So it looked like a little fawn.
Okay, well, that's, I mean, still, anytime you're going, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour, any deer strike is a pretty serious incident.
Yeah. And, you know, I always say that, aim for the butt. But, like, really, what would I do when I'm in that situation?
Yeah.
I'd probably just go, wah!
Yeah.
You know, I do like anybody else.
I'd just say avoid the antlers. That would be my first thing.
Yeah, this one didn't appear to have antlers.
Fortunately, yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
But that's not the only crash going around, right?
There's a lot of crashes going on. So here's one. We had this guy crash a motorcycle somewhere. It was a Yamaha FZ model.
Right.
We could be pretty sure it's an FZ model.
Yep.
And the citation given to him was, I had not heard of this one in the RCWs before, but it's called Wheels Off Roadway.
Right.
So, actually... That has an R and a W in the acronym, doesn't
That's
it?
That's true, yeah. Good eye.
Huh.
But now this was, he was riding solo, and he went off, like, in a turn. He overextended.
He went too wide in the corner and crashed a bike.
And they came, they checked him out, and then the cop was like, oh, by the way.
Yeah, here's your ticket.
Right.
For wheels off roadway.
Right.
Well, you know, if your wheels are off the roadway, you're not even on the road. So why would you give him... How could you give him a citation?
I don't know the physics of it or the legality of it, but it all seems very strange to me.
Yeah, I really want to be an attorney right about now.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, what they wrote in the paper that posted this was that the model of bike was an FZ207A.
Yeah.
Okay, I've owned an FZ6 before.
Right.
I never remember Yamaha ever releasing an FZ207A. Are we cleared for takeoff?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. You know, I've never – the article seemed – there was a lot of just bizarre wording and language, it seemed to me. Like, it didn't seem completely coherent.
So if you're out there listening, Mr. FZ207A, get yourself an attorney. I think you're going to win this one. Number three, the Seattle Cossacks celebrating their 80-year anniversary.
It's crazy.
Putting on great stunt shows for people all across the Pacific Northwest for 80 years.
That's unbelievable.
They're into their third generation. There's a guy on the team right now, and his dad and his granddad were all members of the Cossacks.
That's incredible. What a legendary group. So great to have them as part of the Seattle motorcycling scene.
And they recently performed down in Pendleton, and they were handed the key to the city by the mayor, John Tucker.
Wow, good for them.
Every one of them got a key.
That's fantastic.
And I have a picture of every one of them getting their key.
And they're still riding the old classic bikes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told them when I was talking to them prior to the mayor showing up, I said, you know, maybe it's time for you guys to switch over to V-Rods.
Yeah.
And he go, oh, boy, I'd love to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're running – I think the bikes have to be between, like, 22 and 34 or something like that.
Right. They're all Harleys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're probably constantly trying to find gaskets
it's
and
gotta be
valves.
Just, yeah.
So
– But, you know, my suggestion would be for the FZ207As, if they can get a whole fleet of those, we'd really have some wheels off roadway action.
Well, I'm okay with them staying with American
roads.
you know, we got the Goldwing drill team if you want the Japanese mounts.
That's true, yeah.
So, let's see. Another local at-home thing, tip for our listeners, because we know you love to save money. If you got a registration to the Rally in the Gorge, you might recall from last month's show, we had a special discount of 20% off any accessories or apparel at Skagit Power Sports this month. Until the 10th of August, you can get 20% off any accessories, parts, apparel at Seattle Cycle Center. All you got to do is bring in your receipt and render it to them. If you don't have a receipt yet because you haven't registered, go ahead and register.
Right.
And you know, I think it's like we said last month, if you're going to buy a whole set of gear, a helmet, a jacket, pants, boots, you don't even have to go to the rally. You'll still be saving money.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an incredible deal. And you throw in, if you are going to go to the rally, which of course we hope you are, I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know, you go down there and get a new jacket or a new helmet. That's a big savings.
Yeah. And then you come to the rally and you look at me and Derek and go, look what I bought at Seattle Cycle Center.
That's right.
And we'll say, man, that pink helmet isn't working. Yeah. I don't know.
That pink helmet, I didn't even know they sold assless chaps down there. But
well, I tried to do a promotion on pink helmets, but now I can't segregate out female riders on Facebook anymore. So that's
why
that.
Would you want to? A pink helmet is just appropriate for a man as it is a woman, Tom.
Yeah. let's see. Okay. So we were talking about crashes.
Yeah.
If you're a hooligan, and I don't mean you're a member in the hooligan club. Just right. If you're a hooligan, you should probably pay a little a lot of hooligans listen to this show.
Right.
You should probably pay attention to the paper because it's not in our feed because we don't put them in our feed, but there are a lot of hooligan crashes going on right now. And some of them are resulting in deaths because people think they can evade the police and we're seeing, you know, and they're coming in pairs. So there was two up here in Shoreline. There was two down in Tacoma. There's one or two down in Oregon. And, you know, if you're a hooligan, it's time to upgrade to whatever the next level. Maybe you become a sport touring rider instead.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I've seen a pretty big uptick in these types of videos. You mentioned evading the police. There's really been a spike in that on YouTube, you know, so I think
everybody's got a camera, including the hooligans.
Everybody's got a camera, yeah, the police and the motorcycle riders. But, yeah, be safe out there and be smart, you know, be respectful of your fellow motorists. You know, that's important, too.
So the International Motorcycle Show dates have been announced in Seattle. You got what's the word?
Yeah, you didn't make the cut.
Didn't make the cut.
But surely they'll be coming to either Idaho or Oregon, right?
Oh, no.
Okay. Well, maybe Northern California?
Southern California.
Okay.
That'd be the only location west of the Rockies.
Yeah.
And there's only six other locations on the tour this year.
Right.
I am putting my money in Las Vegas this year, and I'm going down to the AIM Expo in October.
And along those lines, I noticed a few comments on our Facebook post on that, too, where it seemed like maybe a couple other people were taking that train of thought.
Yeah, and one of our regulars, Marty, was talking about going to the Vancouver show, which is usually always worth the trip.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and plus, I mean, if the weather's right, it's fun to ride up, even if it's cold.
Yeah, you know, and I know obviously that the IMS, it's tough for dealers and manufacturers. They don't want to take time out of the summer and they want to do these things in the winter and that kind of thing, and I get all that, but is it maybe time to take a chance and maybe reverse that sort of conventional sort of thinking and maybe do a few summertime dates? Like, I feel like people would turn out for that.
The problem is getting the dealers to want to go.
Well, I know, but I'm saying
their shops are busy then and they don't have the manpower to go down and work the booths.
I feel like still industry-wide, I feel like it might be time to try to take a shot on that, because I really feel like you might see some pretty big dividends.
Okay, you try it.
All right.
Let me know how it goes.
I'm going to spearhead that. I'm doing my Facebook ad right now, targeting males over the age. Oh, wait, no.
Oh,
never mind.
Oh, can't do
sorry,
that.
Shut that down.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Marty, if you're thinking about going to Vancouver for the show, which is, happens in, late January, early February.
Yeah.
What you do is I know he's already signed up for Rally in the Gorge. So all he has to do now is go over to Seattle Cycle Center.
There you go.
And take his receipt and he can buy some electric clothing. And
yeah.
Be nice and cozy and toasty and save 20% on that.
And you get two trips out of it. I mean, you get to go to the Gorge and up to Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right. That's why we're the best motorcycling podcast on the internet.
But I'm going to guess when you go to the Gorge, you don't need to take your heated clothing with you.
You probably don't. God, I hope not.
Let's see. Travis Pastrana, congratulations. He beat three of Evel Knievel's records in Las Vegas a month ago now.
Yeah, in one shot.
In one day.
Yeah.
So I knew he could do it. The guy is like Mr. Confidence.
He is, yeah. Oh, you know, to Evil's credit, though, you know, motorcycle suspension has come a long, long ways.
Yeah.
And it was like, I mean, back on those old Harleys in the 70s and that kind of stuff, I mean, how much suspension travel did you have? 3-4 inches?
I get better suspension with a toilet plunger than those things.
So when you see these guys land, I mean, it's a dramatic difference. You know, Travis was all credit in the world, but when that thing comes down, it's pretty soft compared to the old, the old Harley makeup that Evel did. When are we going to get somebody to out in Idaho to jump the Snake River Canyon again?
I think BLM's got that land now, so I don't think they're going to get on it.
Oh, that's no good.
I'm not sure.
All right.
I don't know that for certain, but of course nobody else is. Well, what is it? There was somebody that said they were going to do it a couple of years ago, but they never did it.
You ever go back and watch that video from Evel Knievel trying to do that with the parachute?
Where the parachute goes?
Yeah.
I did watch that one night.
It's pretty gnarly, man.
Maybe we'll put that in the movie role for the Rally in the Gorge.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd always
So don't go watch it on YouTube right now, just because Derek said so.
Right, here's an idea. You buy your ticket to the rally, go to Seattle Cycle Center, buy some new gear, come down and see us at the end of August, and then watch the
fiery parachute scene. Yeah. Let's see. We talked about Harley-Davidson going to move some manufacturing overseas for the European market. Now, Indians saying they may do the same thing. And then I read the other day that someone in the White House wants to give $15 billion to the farmers. You know, how many times have we bailed farmers out in this country? Does anybody get the idea that maybe we're over-farming just a little bit?
I tell you what, man. I don't know. Farming subsidies are as much a part of a political fabric around here as anything else. But
yeah. And if you were Harley-Davidson, wouldn't you want one of those $15 billion? And get your bail out there?
I'd start building my motorcycles out of wheat or soy.
Ooh.
Can you do that?
You can already run them on it, can't you? You can run them on corn, right?
Yeah, you can try to anyway. So maybe that's the angle there. But you know, Indian, though, and sort of a more positive aspect, they have reported better than average sales, an increase this year, which is kind of nice to see.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I knew it was going to happen. Obviously, when they dropped Victory, they were going to put their whole focus on Indian.
Right.
So they did, and I think they're doing a great job marketing. I see them popping up at all these events. I see them at Spokane Motorcycle Show.
Yeah.
I saw them down in Eastern Oregon. And I think they're doing a great job marketing the brand. Keep going, guys. And I like to see them give Harley-Davidson a run for their money. It's just going to make better motorcycles for both companies.
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, of course, I like all motorcycles, but cruisers have never been something that has really drawn my eye too much. But I tell you what, those Indian motorcycles are beautiful.
Well, and they're not all cruisers. You know,
that's true.
Scout
is
really a standard, kind of like the Sportster. But
good point.
I think it's a little herkier than a Sportster.
Did Travis Pastrana do his jumps on an Indian?
He did.
Yeah. Speaking of marketing.
Gee, there's more marketing right there. And then I guess the stupidest idea of the month award goes to the two guys who thought they could steal a fish tank from a pet store and get away on a motorcycle doing it. So I don't have it in the feed, but if you need to look this up, just look up motorcycle fish tank theft.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll find a photograph. It's hilarious. They got caught. Well, what a surprise.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I mean, I would think that these guys would have been some real sharks.
Yamaha has announced their Nikon pricing at $15,999. So what do you think? You're going to do it?
You know, I think I'm going to pass. But isn't the Nikon, doesn't it have like the two wheels up front? Isn't that the thing? Or
yeah, it's got two wheels up front and four shocks.
Okay.
And it kind of floats, you know. It leans.
Who's the target market for something like this?
You, I thought.
Oh, I was the guy, huh? They built one. They're going to have to bring the price down
a little sometimes
bit.
Think it's collectors.
Yeah.
You know, they're probably going to make like 1,500 of this. It's kind of like when Yamaha or when Honda did the Rune.
Okay.
Did it for 2 years. I think they only did like 1,000 or 1,500 each year.
I gotcha.
And then it goes away. And then, you know, 20 years later, you're standing over with your grandson at the Smithsonian. And, oh, look, there, what's that one?
I gotcha. Papa? Yeah. I thought you were going to say 20 years later, you're standing with your grandson. And he's like, so when are you going to kick the bucket so I can sell this thing? And.
I'd probably be saying something like, well, you have to sell right now because I need the money for
yeah,
the home.
That's right.
Pay the bill over there.
I don't know. That's interesting. $16,000. Yet, you know, no word on when we're going to see a Tenere 650 here in the United States just yet, or 700, right?
Nope. Okay. No word.
Still waiting.
In fact, I was talking with people from Yamaha the other day, and they told me, don't start planning on a release date.
Yet. Okay.
So, let's see. Last but not least, this is special news for our listeners. I haven't announced it anywhere else. If you like the Techniche evaporative cooling vest and you like the ones with the sleeves, I tend to like them myself. And, of course, you know, they're good for about 5-7 years, and then the fiber starts to break down. Well, Techniche has stopped production on the sleeved model.
Right.
So what we have in our warehouse now is all we have left. So if you want to get one to replace the one you have or just sit on it for later on when it's time to replace, now would be the time to order it. If you are a size large, I'm sorry, they are all gone. And it broke my heart too because I can't sit on one.
Right.
But I have lots of XLs, and we do have a few 2X, 3X, smalls, and mediums. So you can jump on the Soundwriter store website, and you'll see what we have there because I take out the ones when we run out. So you may not actually see your size come up in the color you want. Keep trying on different colors. But that's the story on that.
But, yeah, and we have a lot of customers of the year who swear by those cooling vests with the long sleeves. So,
I do.
Yeah.
Well, it's like 115 down in California today.
No question, man.
All right. Let me take a little break. When we come back, we got the calendar.
Support for the Soundwriter Show is provided in part by
Cascade Motorcycle Safety. Featuring two ranges located in Anacortes and Bellingham, Cascade Motorcycle Safety offers beginner and intermediate rider courses and is certified to test riders for their motorcycle endorsement. For more information, visit their website at Cascade Motorcycle Safety today.
Hi, I'm Greg from Goldendale, Washington. Only lived out here a year, but there's all kind of great roads to ride, and I haven't found them all yet.
Hi, this is Joanne Gerbing from Gordon's Heated Clothing, and you're listening to The Sound Rider Show.
On the Sound Rider Show, as we roll into the calendar segment, and I tell you what, August is always jam-packed, but I always look forward to the end of August a little more than most of the other days. But with that said, there's some pretty good stuff going on before that last weekend in August, isn't there, this month?
There's something for everybody.
There is, definitely. Yeah. What's this first one? Is this the Ride for Alice Cooper?
Oh, wait. It's called the Ride for Alice. Okay. I didn't know that meant.
I gotcha.
But it's put on through the United Way, and it happens out of Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and you basically do the route that goes along the east side of Lake Coeur d'Alene and then up to, I guess, I-90. I think they actually start it by going I-90 and then dropping down to the lake.
Okay.
And the road on the east side is a blast.
Yeah,
it is just full of corners. It's beautiful. It's a fundraiser. There's more details about who it raises funds for on our website. And that's happening on Saturday, August 4th. So if you're out in the Spokane or Coeur d'Alene area, and you're looking for something to do, you could join in.
Yeah, and just to reconfirm there, there's no word that the Alice is Alice Cooper, so don't expect.
Or Alice in Wonderland.
Right. Hard to tell the difference sometimes.
I don't think that's an acronym, though. I don't know what about. Either. I never really caught the gist of it as I was reading through it.
You know, it says it's the ride to raise funds for scholarships for families for daycare in North Idaho, so I assume it's probably in honor of somebody who...
Who couldn't get daycare, Alice?
It could have been, yeah.
And now everybody else is going to get it.
Yeah.
Poor Alice.
Right.
All right. Saturday, the 11th, Sunday, the 12th, the MotoFit group will be down at Oregon Raceway Park. Very important. If you want to get in on a MotoFit event, and many people do, you need to register in advance because they sell out.
Yep.
And the thing was totally sold out last time out at the Ridge. Expect it again and don't get caught short. Or as someone said, don't have yourself a solo pity party later. Get your registration in now so you can get your spot down there. I think it's 50 per class, right. 50 green, 50 blue, 50 black. And if you've never ridden at Oregon Raceway Park or you've never done a track day before, if you're coming to the rally in the Gorge, we're actually going to have a segment where you can ride out to ORP and get a taste of the track.
Yeah, I got to like that.
At not crazy high speeds.
Right.
So that's happening. Sunday, the 12th, down in Georgetown at Slim's Last Chance Saloon, there's going to be a motorcycle and car show. So if you're hanging around Seattle, and you just want to hang around Seattle, you could head down for that.
Is that a regular thing? I don't know that I've ever heard that they've done it
before. It's the first time they've done it.
Okay. Well, good for them. I think they're supposed to be famous for their chili down there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's places to get breakfast down there, too, isn't there?
It's growing down in Georgetown, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the little Mexican place up the road. I don't remember the name of it now. It's got a lot of iron, wrought iron bars and stuff around it.
Oh, yeah. Is that La Fonda?
Yeah, that's
something.
It. La Fondita.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's great down good. There. Yeah, they are.
And also, speaking of almost Georgetown, down in DeSoto, Wednesday, August 15th, is the Backfire Moto Night. And make sure you read your calendar in the magazine they have,
because yeah.
I lay that out for them every month. let's see, Saturday, 18th and 19th, there'll be Wimra Racing at the Ridge. Having been out at the Ridge recently, I can tell you that the grandstands are right on turn 13 and 14, and you get to watch the guys come down an off-camber corner hill.
Nice.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Totally cool. And so, that's, you know, even though there's not a lot of other vantage points, I know in the past they have had a vehicle that takes people out with a portable grandstand and puts them in different spots on the track.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you want to go out watch this as a spectator, you might enjoy it.
That's just amazing how fast those guys go.
Yeah.
Right?
let's see. Okay, also on the 18th, if motocross is your thing, you want to go watch some motocross or you want to go ride some motocross, you could do that at Stratoline ORV Park out there near McCleary, Washington. And it'll be the PacWest Motocross event on Saturday the 18th.
Nice.
And then you got time to go home, pack up, and get ready for Wednesday, August 22nd through the 26th, Rally in the Gorge.
Yeah.
And we'll do a separate segment, and we're going to talk about that more.
We'll dive in a bit, yeah.
Saturday the 25th, if you like old cars, and who doesn't ride motorcycles that doesn't like old cars?
A lot of truth to that.
LeMay will be having their 41st car show.
You know, that's unbelievable. 41 already, huh?
Yeah. This is down at their property in Puyallup, not up by the Tacoma Dome.
So this is kind of this is the one that's in the know, right? Because most people they drive by the new museum, by the Tacoma Dome, and they don't know about this
one. You have to go down and get off the freeway and find the back streets. And they always have some great stuff to pull out and show people.
Yeah.
So Monday, August 27th, you could leave the rally in the gorge on Sunday the 26th, and you could go to Baker City for the Westock Rally.
Absolutely.
Westock stands for Western ST Owners Club.
Okay.
So if you have a Honda ST, all the better. And then you won't look like you're sticking out like a sore thumb.
That's right. You know? Well, you know, that dovetails nicely with my encouragement for everybody every year is if you can't get time off from work to go to the rally, quit your job, and then you'll have plenty of time to go to both events.
There you go. let's see, Friday, August 31st, if you're up Canada way or you want to pack your bike up and throw it in the back of the car and take it up into Canada, you could go to Mission Raceways. They'll be having a track day up there on that Friday the 31st. Happy birthday to my mom on that day.
Oh, nice. A good way to celebrate it, right?
She died 10 years ago, but well, I still tell her happy birthday.
I think
once
that's important, yeah. A good way to celebrate it. Go up and enjoy Canada for a day.
Yeah. Okay, that's our calendar. we're going to have two interview segments coming up here. The first one is going to be about the rally in the gorge. And then the second segment we're going to do is we've got 10 tips and tricks for riding in the heat. We'll be right back.
Support for Soundwriter and the Soundwriter Show is made possible by
The Rally in the Gorge. Are you ready to go beyond the main roads? Since 2003, The Rally in the Gorge has introduced riders intimately to the awesome secondary and tertiary roads in the Columbia River Gorge National Scenic Area. With programs for dual sport, adventure, sport touring, and sport bike enthusiasts, this is the rally you'll want to return to again and again. For more information, visit soundwriter.com/rally.
My name is Dana. I live in Seattle. I ride an R100 GS. I like to ride around the Cascades.
Hi, this is Ray Crapo from Icon Motorsports. You're listening to the Sound Rider Show.
Welcome back to the August episode of the Sound Rider Show, and as promised, we're going to do a little rundown of the premier Sound Rider event. Is this 17? 16?
Sweet 16!
Sweet 16, the Rally in the Gorge, August 22nd to the 26th, coming up here pretty quick. And you know, every year is a little bit different, and even though I am part of the Sound Rider clan here, I get snippets, but I was hoping that you could bring me up to date and the listeners up to date on kind of what the latest is going to be like this year. So why don't we dive right into it, and let's talk about this first.
Okay.
Last year, a little unexpected change of venue.
Yep.
This year, back to the Hood River Fairgrounds,
that's
right?
That's the plan.
Yes, that's the plan. So
that's the plan.
So tell me, last year we had forest fires kicked us out of the Hood River Fairgrounds, but this year we've had pretty calm.
We're looking at high humidities right now
right.
as we speak. In fact, it was 66% humidity outside this morning here in Seattle. So that bodes well for not getting forest fires.
Yeah.
Because it I don't know, must mean something like you're not going to have lightning strikes right now.
Right, which is important because that's usually what ignites the fires here.
And we're looking at the fire map here at the first of the month, and it's looking really clean. Every fire that started this year has been contained.
Right.
So there's none of these like, you know, oh, this thing's been going on for 3 months now.
Which is, you know, not what we want to see. We don't want to see any fires. But, you know, that not just in, you know, proximity to the fairgrounds there, but all over where the rides take riders and that kind of stuff, it looks like it's going to be pretty wide open.
Yeah,
so
we
far.
Want everybody to get there smoke-free too, and it's right. pretty good unless you're coming from Grants Pass, Oregon, where there's like six fires going on in one place.
Right.
But other than that, it's pretty smoke-free up and down the coast.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's some couple fires in California, but nothing that's going to stop anybody.
So something that's going to be kind of big this year, and we rolled it out with great success last year, but food has always been one of those things that it takes a lot of work to plan. But this year, we're going to come back and do some food in-house, right?
We are.
Yeah,
we had so much success with it last year. We're going to do it again. We've learned how to make it work for us and for all the attendees that go. We make really good food because basically we're making you our staff meals.
Right.
And we're pricing them right, so you're not As far as I know, our food is less expensive than any of the other restaurants around the area.
For sure.
And it doesn't mean I don't want you to go experience some of the other restaurants. I want you to do a little bit of both.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that when you come to the rally, if you don't want to put your gear on to go get breakfast and then come back, you don't have to, because I'm going to have breakfast for you there, and it's going to be priced reasonably. And then, of course, on Sunday we'll have the pancake breakfast, so that's included in the registration.
And on Thursday, we'll be, for those arriving on Thursday anyway.
That's grass-fed ribeye steak. That's the burger feed.
The burger feed, which is always kind of a great way to kick off the weekend of events there. But, you know, I like to highlight that because food is, obviously that's important, but it kind of goes in line with, hey, you come to the rally in the Gorge in case you've never been there before. You got food. You got flushing toilets. You got showers. You got internet access. You get a lot of stuff, and that's just, I mean, if you're camping, and then you can bring your RV if you want, too. So, I mean, it's a pretty comfortable experience.
If you bring your RV, you get a 40-amp outlet.
Right.
So everybody's all set that way. If it heats up a little bit, your air conditioner will actually work that night.
Yeah, which is always a nice thing.
Which has not always been the case when we're at the other location.
So let's go into the schedule a little bit here, talking about specifically some of the things that are going to be happening at the fairgrounds, because this is definitely a rider's rally.
Mm-hmm.
And we focus on that with the clinics and sort of the events that we hold at the rally on the fairgrounds, on site there. What are some of the things that we can expect throughout the weekend?
Well, let's just put an image in someone's mind who hasn't been to the rally before to start with.
Yeah.
And that is that between 10 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there isn't anybody at the fairgrounds.
That's right.
Everybody's out riding. There's not like a bunch of old guys sitting in Kermit chairs over chewing the fat about, 40 years ago when I owned a BSA or any of that.
Yeah.
Everybody's out on the road. So we got some really great rides planned. And I'm sorry, go ahead.
So just kind of going through some of the schedule, some of the events that in clinics and that kind of thing that we have scheduled.
So we have a new series of presentations we're going to do this year called the ProTech Sessions.
Okay.
And the ProTech Sessions is where I've gone to some of the ProTechs here in the Pacific Northwest and corralled them into doing an open-ended Q&A type session for an hour.
That's awesome.
Where you can come in and, you've got a question about maybe doing a chain replacement, or you're not sure about why your tires are wearing down every 3,000 miles. Whatever's on your mind, you can ask it at the ProTech session, because everybody's going to learn from whatever your question was, and vice versa. You're going to learn from everybody else's questions. So we've got Dale Gray from South Sound Honda doing it one day. And then we've got Mark and Dana from Valentine Motorworks doing it on another day.
That's great.
One in the morning, and then we're doing one in the afternoon. So if you like to sleep in. Does anybody ever sleep in our rally?
I don't think too much. You're better off being on the motorcycle by the time 10 o'clock rolls around, because it can start to get a little warm in the tent anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to avoid that.
So Dale will be doing it in the morning for all you early risers. It's at 8:15 on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Mark and Dana are doing it in the afternoon. I believe that's on Thursday. All the stuff subject to change, too.
And for people who don't know, these guys are – I mean, these are really the best – motorcycle mechanic minds in the Pacific Northwest. These guys have some serious experience.
Yeah, we've had Mark and Dana on the show.
Yep.
We haven't had Dale on the show. We need to have him on. But they pretty much can answer any question for you. They've been through so much stuff in their life, fixing people's bikes and realizing all the nuances of this and that. And it's always fun to talk to them, but to get them out doing these forums is going to be great.
Yeah, and they're not qualified, but feel free to throw them a curveball with maybe some relationship advice.
Oh, great idea.
Relationship with your motorcycle, But how about, always a friend of the show and sound writer, Truett Motorcycle Education, Jesse Murphy is going to be down there.
So Jesse's going to be here. We're still firming up exactly what his presentations are going to be. There will be three of them. There will be two on site, and then, of course, he'll be doing the Maryhill Clinic, and we know what that is. That's going to be about what you do when you're in downhill corners.
Right.
That's what the focus on that. So, unfortunately, what that means is every time you get done with the classroom aspect of that morning session, you're going to have to ride up to the top of the Maryhill Road.
Right.
And then you're going to ride down.
Yeah. It's such a poor thing having to do that over and over again,
right?
It's
awful. Yeah. Just awful.
You know, that's just the idea here is obviously that you can go and you can learn some things during the morning. You can go out, you can put some of those things into practice, you can come back. And it's a great kickstarter to sort of the whole camaraderie aspect too, which is something, again, being a rider's rally, you're going to meet a lot of other people that are sort of in your wheelhouse. There's a lot of terrific people just to chat with around the fire or around these clinics, and it's just, it's such a great time.
Around a burger feed.
Yeah,
the burger feed is the mixer. If you want to meet other people at the rally, that's a good place to start. If you just want to come and get your burger and run back to your tent and hide from everybody all weekend, you could do that too.
Right. That's a good point, actually, is that the whole idea behind the rally in the Gorge versus some other rallies and some other events is it's kind of self-paced.
Like, you make it what you make it.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff to participate in. So let's maybe jump to the rides.
Okay, well, let's do one more aspect on the educational side.
Yeah, sure, what else? Yeah.
We still do have a couple spots open on the Maryhill Clinic that you can sign up for online. And then once that's closed, when you get to the rally, you just let us know at the registration desk that you'd like to do the Team Oregon. They call it the I'm blanking on the name right now. Art Light, Advanced Riding Techniques.
Right.
They'll be doing a classroom session on Saturday morning. Everybody can go to that. But you can sign up for one of the 8 spots in the on-road session.
Nice.
And so it'll be 2 instructors, 4 riders per instructor. And basically you'll be riding out to Goldendale because that afternoon is when you get to ride the Maryhill Road.
I gotcha. So that's going to be – well, Oregon, that advanced rider training – has got some really great reviews. So to be able to get some light for that is going to be pretty awesome as well. Is there going to be anybody else that we should know of? Any other providers, any other clinics that we're going to see? Because I know we have a couple of
return Whitney's ones. Going to be there, and he's going to be doing the dirt bike safety training clinic.
Gotcha.
That's an extra fee, but you can do it with your own bike or you can do it on one of theirs. There's information about that online. So it's good to have Whitney back. Couldn't do it last year because they had the water trucks out in the field
right.
where he was going to train. And the helicopter kept landing out.
Right, the firefighters there. But, think about this, though. You can get mechanical advice. You get street advice. You get off-road advice. You get cornering advice. I mean, that's pretty complete.
Yeah.
You know,
and then you wanted to talk about some of the rides.
Yes, let's get into that.
So we have a new ride this year, as we often do. And this ride is sort of an exploratory ride. We call it the Valley Floor Tour. And what it is you're going to explore a bunch of places on the low elevations of the Gorge.
Nice.
You'll be able to check out several of the different hot springs resorts. There's a museum along the way.
Great.
There's the Bonneville Dam, which you can hit from either the north or the south side. There's the fish hatchery at Bonneville, so you can go say hello to Herman the Sturgeon.
Nice.
And then we're going to take you on some of the old road that doesn't get used very often, some of the old US 30 that's still there to the east of Cascade Locks. And make it a really nice trip for somebody who just wants to have a sort of a leisurely day.
Yeah.
That's a road ride. I have 2 more road rides I'll tell you about. There's actually 5 altogether, yep, plus the fun run. We're going to give everybody maps for the Three Rivers ride again. We haven't done this for about 4 years.
Cool.
And the Three Rivers ride takes you along the Columbia River, takes you along the Lewis River, and it takes you along the Wind River. And you know, if you look at the word wind, there's another word that is spelled the same way, wind. And we like windy roads.
Yeah.
So this
point.
Three Rivers ride, it's a 200-mile ride. So, you know, you've got your choice between like 30-mile rides or a 200-mile ride and all stuff in between.
Right.
While you're there. It's a loop ride. Take you all day. You can get lunch in a couple of different places. And it's a blast.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And, you know, a lot of times people will even bring a street bike and a dual sport bike down to the event,
mm-hmm,
so that they can mix. One day they'll ride a pavement ride, and the next day they'll ride a dirt ride.
Yep. Let's see. Then we got what is it? We've got another new road ride. I'm blanking on it now.
I gotcha. Well, we could circle back to that in a second here. Maybe we go to the dirt side. You got?
I know what this road ride is. Speaking of short rides, like 28 miles.
Right.
This is the our version of Hood River's Fruit Loop.
Okay.
So we're going to take you on the majority of the route, but we also have some side roads that we like along it. And we'll have some Fruit Loop maps so you can see what the different fruit stands and stuff are along the route.
Nice.
There's a alpaca farm where you can buy alpaca products. And,
I wonder if they'll have my custom alpaca motorcycle suit ready this year.
I'm not sure. Maybe they'll have your freeze-dried alpaca petrified snack.
Yeah, some alpaca jerky, right? Do you ever, you know, because obviously this is the Fruit Loop here, but there are a lot of orchards and that kind of stuff. Do you ever, you know, I haven't stopped and bought a pie at any of these stands yet. Have you done that on any of your trips down there?
I never bought a pie.
Okay.
I didn't know you could, I guess you could do that.
Yeah. I've seen them out there. I feel like this might be the year for me that I might bring a pie back.
Okay.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't hit my face when you get back, I'm all right.
I don't want to ruin the surprise, but. But then what about on the dirt side? What do we got going on?
On the dirt side, you know, we used to hear it all the time. You guys don't have gnarly enough rides. We need more gnarly dirt rides. So we every year we always have a few now.
Yeah.
And we have a couple really gnarly ones this year. In fact, they're so gnarly that pre-ride team A will not be pre-riding the gnarly rides. We have pre-ride team B who's going to go out, and they can loosen up all the bolts on their bikes.
That's good, yeah.
So, yeah, we have two ladies who were with us on the Sasquatch tour, and they are going to go pre-ride the gnarly stuff. And it's gnarly.
But, you know, that again speaks to the whole self-paced nature of it here. You're not trying to keep up with a group, so you can go at your own skill level.
Exactly. We don't send these rides out in groups.
Yeah. And if you want to turn around, you turn around. If you get something that you feel like is outside your skill level, you just go back the way you came.
Yeah, hopefully you can make it out.
Hopefully you can make it out, yeah.
But I figure if you made it in, you can make it out.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, I wanted to ask you, in all honesty here, because 16 years is like, that's a tremendous accomplishment for an event like this. What, I mean, what keeps you going and planning this year after year?
I got to pay my bills. No, I love riding motorcycles, and I love sharing this area with people.
Yeah.
And I love to show them all the little things that are hidden, and the fact that you're on a motorcycle, particularly if you're on a dual sport, you're going to get to some places that you'd never go.
Right.
And, you know, we've done crazy stuff. We had the fun run that went around the to all the schools.
Sure.
And some of those schools have been closed like 60 years.
Yeah,
or
not the population there.
And
to
people
support
were discovering
that.
All these places that they wouldn't have otherwise seen. So I really like sharing that with people, you know?
Well, we talk about it all the time. You know, there is such great history throughout the area. And what better way to experience it than on a motorcycle? I mean, you not only get the terrific views, but you get to find some new things like that. And also a charity aspect, too, right?
Oh, well, there's some news on that this year.
Okay.
So we will not be running the Gorge Kids Explorer Fund this year.
Gotcha.
We're going to put that on ice for a few years. We have enough money in the fund to keep funding, and we're just going to kind of take that out of the mix for now.
Gotcha.
We'll probably bring it back later when the money gets low.
Sure.
But we got enough money in there right now. And it's a lot of work to put that auction together.
No question.
So we're just trying to simplify things for a while, and we'll still be able to fund these events for the kids. So that's all good.
Yeah.
And we've actually found some other ways where we're saving some money so we can roll some more money into the kids' stuff. So –
Well, it's terrific, though. I mean, because you are, and you've mentioned this several times, we've talked about it on the show, such a fan of the history, and it's good for people, for kids in the area to be able to get out and experience that. And I just always want to tip my cap for the work that you've done over the past 15 years, and including this year, to get those kids out to actually experience some of that, because they don't often have the chance to do that.
Yeah, and know that if you buy something at the Rally Cafe and Kitchen, that you're probably helping to fund some of those programs,
right,
too. So,
which is great,
because we don't walk out of there making money, but we don't walk out of there losing money
either. Right.
So
now back to the rally, and the last thing that I want to kind of ask you about is just for people who are already planning to come down, or maybe people who are considering to come down, let's talk about setup, day one, GPS tracks, and that kind of thing.
So when you get there on Wednesday, we'll have GPS tracks for all the rides available,
right,
and you'll be able to get them downloaded into your device. If you're using a mobile phone, we'll be able to email them over to you. We'll have some paper maps that have all the ride notes. And then we'll have the Fun Run route as well.
Right. And then you're free to get out there and ride.
And and we highly encourage that you use our GPS routes, because it's a lot easier than trying to – we don't even list turn-by-turn directions anymore in our route notes. And secondly, sometimes we mess them up. So to get you on your toes when you realize you're going the wrong place, you just hit some rock wall where all these guys are climbing, and you got to find your way out.
Yeah.
And we usually plan for that to happen to you about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because we know you get a little sleepy then.
Wake you up, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it is an adventure riders rally, right? There's a component to that.
Adventure riders, sport touring, sport bike. You bring your maxi scoot too.
Yeah, bring it on down. Anything is welcome there. So, well, I'm really looking forward to it. It's a great event every year. August 22nd to the 26th, the Hood River County Fairgrounds. I mean, what else do you need, right?
You just got to go to soundrider.com/rally and get registered.
Sign up, come on down and join us.
So let's take a little break. It's hot. It's, you know, like I said earlier, it's like 115 in California today. So we got to talk about some hot weather riding tips. And I know some of you guys know everything there is to know, and there might be one thing we know that you don't. We'll be right back.
Support for the Sound Riders Show is provided in part by
Cycle Barn of Smoky Point, your destination location for all things Honda, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and KTM. Featuring a large showroom and fully staffed service area, the Smoky Point Cycle Barn is the place to come and compare all the latest models, have your bike serviced, and shop for aftermarket apparel and parts. Visit them online at cyclebarn.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Coop, and I'm from Surrey, BC. My favorite ride is going out Highway 30 up to Vista House, and then we go on over to Larch Mountain for the most amazing view of 5 volcanoes. A view you will never forget once you've been there. You have to take that ride. It is excellent.
Hi, this is Scoshi from Avon Motorcycle Tires. You're listening to The Sound Rider Show.
Are back on the Sound Rider Show, and for this segment, we are going to be talking about some hot weather riding tips. Check it out, Derek. It's as we record, it is 109 in Vegas, 106 down in Phoenix. I got 106 in San Bernardino. Sounds like a song. I got 106 on Route 66.
There you go. Now we got something.
91 up in Salt Lake. It's hot out.
It is, man.
It's on the 91 down in 97 in Texas somewhere.
It's brutal.
Just smoking hot. Yeah. 90 down in Florida. And, you know, that's – right now we're recording. It's 11 o'clock. When it gets to be like 3 or 4 o'clock, it's going to be smoking down there.
Yeah. You know, we complain here in Seattle when it hits, what, 82 degrees? You start seeing people complain?
Yeah, boy, when it's 90, I just
– It can be pretty rough this time of year, but that doesn't mean it should stop you from riding your motorcycle necessarily, right?
No, but it makes it hard for me because, like, when it hits 90 and I'm in my house, I just drop my pants. But I can't do that on the motorcycle, so.
You shouldn't, anyway.
I might get a citation for wheels off the ground or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
pants off the rider. That's
the ultimate hooligan action.
Anyway, Derek and I had a little meeting before the show here, and we are going to come up with some tips and tricks for you. You know, I'm going to let you lead off with yours first.
Yeah, we put on all of our motorcycle gear. We hopped in the Sound Rider sauna, and we said we're not coming out until we've got 10 tips and tricks, right? So here we are, and you know what? I'll start right off. You know, one of the things we talk about, of course, is hydration, and that's important, and you shouldn't be hydrating with things like soda or, you know, anything else other than really water is what you should focus on. You want to make sure you're drinking water. But while you're doing that, you got to make sure you monitor your salt intake. Because while you are drinking all that water and you're sweating it out and it's hot, or even just the airflow over your body is going to suck out not just a lot of moisture, but you're also going to be sweating out a lot of salt, and you need that to perform mentally and to perform physically. So salty snacks are always a good thing. Some people will use things like electrolyte powders and stuff like that. That's okay.
Yeah. I was going to make the comment that you need to take it beyond just salt. It has to be potassium,
right?
Magnesium.
Well, so like
the four things that make up electrolyte.
So something that I have been doing recently, not for motorcycling specifically, but roasting walnuts.
There you go. That's got your magnesium right there.
Yep. So you get some walnuts with a little salt on it, and I just roast those up in the oven. And you do that with some water, you know, you'll be in pretty decent shape. So that's a tip to start off with.
Yeah, it's funny when you think about it. You know, if you just ate a bunch of nuts and drank water, you'd be doing yourself a real service.
Yeah.
So
that's the hot weather squirrel diet. Something that you ought to be aware of there. So that's
called
one
the summertime
thing.
Fast.
Right. But you want to go back and forth? How do you want to do this? You want me to go through my five here?
I'll go ahead and do one.
Okay, yeah, throw one in.
This kind of goes with the next one you have, but mine's called Ride in the Morning, Hide in the Afternoon. Mm. So I like to – in fact, when I was asking Mark and Dana to do the Protech session at the rally, they said, yeah, we'll do it at 4 o'clock, but we're not doing it at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, you know, why not? And they said, that's when we go ride.
Right, yeah.
So they're out doing their rides in the morning. And I was doing that when I was working down in Eastern Oregon last week. I would go out and ride in the morning, and I'd come back and work on the laptop in an air-conditioned room in the afternoon. So
super important. I agree with you. And you're right. That does kind of dovetail with what I had, which was plan ahead. If you know you're going to be crossing a stretch of, say, Eastern Oregon high desert, and you're going to have to spend a couple hours going across, maybe through Idaho or something like that, just, you know, plan to try to avoid the hottest parts of your route during the middle of the afternoon, especially when you start talking about fatigue and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted you to leave yours in, because yours is a little more extension. It's more of an extension than mine is, because it may be that you decide you're going to not ride between 2 in the afternoon and 6 p.m., but you've got a deadline. You need to be somewhere,
right,
and you're going to get there between 6 and 8 p.m. before the sun goes down.
Right.
And avoid that really super scorcher stretch
in
the middle of the afternoon.
Yep, and while you're doing that, if you are for some reason riding west, make sure you've got some sunglasses and that kind of thing too, because as that sun starts to set, you're going to get a little glare on the old face shield.
In fact, why not bring two pairs of sunglasses?
There you go.
So when you break one, you still have another set.
Always a good idea, yeah.
Not a bad idea.
No, that's why I carry two hips.
All right, well, my next one is stay wet.
Yeah.
Evaporative cooling. Any way you can do it.
Yep.
We have the cooling vest. You can get them if you need them. If you've got a wet, a long sleeve t-shirt, soak it down.
Yeah.
Just know that if you're going to ride with a mesh jacket, you're going to dry that cooling vest or that wet t-shirt down way faster than if you took a leather or a textile jacket, opened up the vents, and let the air come in, not at such a rapid pace that it dries all the moisture out of the vest.
That's a great, great thing. And it's one of those things, it's the simple technology, but it works, man. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So along those lines, right, if you do have maybe not along those lines directly, but if you are riding with some other folks who have maybe differing levels of technology or are taking different steps to kind of cope with the heat and you're in a group, you know, make sure you check in, especially if you got some older riders with you and that kind of thing. You want to make sure that nobody is overexerting themselves in the heat, because, man, it only takes a split second and you can be wheels off the road or you can find yourself feeling faint. So it's good. If you're riding a group, just check in with everybody every once in a while.
I usually like to stop. If I'm doing a group, I usually like to stop the group every hour.
Right.
And then that's your chance to observe somebody and see if they're getting sunstroke or
great
something.
Point. Yeah.
Because that gives everybody a chance to get a bathroom break, drink some water, get a snack.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, if you start seeing someone with, you know, like excessively red face, they take off their helmet or something like that, and you're going to go,
oh,
hey, man.
Oh, boy, did I see some of those.
Yeah.
Man. Whole bodies, you know,
yeah,
where they ride around in a tank top shirt.
Oh boy!
And then they'd show up in the afternoon. And it looked like lobsters coming in the door. Scary.
Not good.
And And so, yeah, so we talk about staying hydrated, and I'm going to talk about just steady water.
Yeah.
You don't have to drink a liter of water every hour. You could probably get away with 8 to 12 ounces of water an hour. Make sure you're getting your electrolytes because you're going to be peeing out your electrolytes. So, but you got to keep that water going in steady. In fact, you got to start like 2 days beforehand because that's your body needs time to build up a level of water. Don't get on the scale during those 2 days because you're going to be a pound heavier by the time you get up to where you're going to take your ride. But you really need to hydrate up before you go out and then maintain it when you're out there.
Well, and you know, of course, you don't want to chug, right? Because that can be dangerous on its own right too.
To chug the liquid?
Well, yeah. If you were like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to drink a gallon of water and then go and ride for 6 hours or whatever. You want that steady water is a much better way to get your fluid.
Some people will take a camelback on their back.
Yep.
And for some people that works. I'm not one of those. I can get away fine with 8 to 12 ounces every hour.
Sure.
And I want to stop that often anyways,
you know,
because also when it's that hot, you need to be keeping an eye on the bike, looking at your tires, seeing what's going on.
Yep.
There might be stuff going on you didn't know about.
Couldn't agree more.
So
so we talked a little bit about, you know, working with the cooling vest and that kind of thing, but also it's good to just reinforce that gear removal isn't going to really help to keep you cooler.
No. So, if I take my pants off when I'm riding, I'll actually heat up more.
Right.
And it's true, I would.
Yeah, and potentially some of those around you, right?
Because your limbs are what's helping your body to manage the thyroid and hold you at 98.6 or whatever we call the regular temperature of the human body these days.
Yep.
And
it's important for a lot of reasons. One, obviously, it's just you don't want to get sunburned, right? If you're going to be on a week-long tour or something like that, sunburn is going to make you miserable. But also when you look at desert cultures around the world and throughout history, they always have long sleeves, long pants, headscarves, right? And there's a reason for that. And it's because actually, scientifically, that kind of thing keeps you cooler because it, in effect, it keeps shade. Now, you want to make sure that you open up the vents and that kind of thing. But you do want to go ahead and take that all gear all the time, and you don't have to worry about that making you any warmer.
So are you going to have a swaddling up class at the Rally in the Gorge where you teach people how to swaddle up in a white cloth and put their helmet on and go for a ride?
Inspired by the Bedouin of old, I am going to be I am going to be teaching that. Look forward to that in the Shell Oil sponsored pavilion, right?
Well, and you said it, shade. Carry a hat with you, a full-brimmed hat. This idea of carrying a baseball cap on a motorcycle is crazy. You need to carry a full-brim hat on your motorcycle. I don't care if you buy one from us through Outdoor Research or you get one somewhere else, REI or wherever you shop. You need to have a full brim because you want to protect the back of your neck.
Right.
You want to protect your ears because they'll really fry in the sun right away.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, you may think, well, I'm going to be on the bike. I'll have the helmet on. I don't need to worry about carrying a full brim hat. Well, yes, you do, because if you have a mechanical and you're out where there's no shade and you need to do a tire repair or something out in the middle of the sunshine, you need to have a full brim hat on. You'll be so much happier with that on.
It's a great point. I mean, can you imagine being on like Highway Old 97 in the middle of the afternoon with a flat tire, working on that without any headgear on?
I've been there. Didn't happen on that road, but it happened out in Goldendale one day.
Yeah.
And it is not pleasant. But it's a lot nicer when you have that full brim hat on.
Yeah.
And also when you're stopping, think twice and look for shade.
Yeah.
Stop in the shade.
Great point.
So,
and I would recommend buying a hat, something that's made of something other than wicker. You don't want to go with your old Tom Kite golf hat.
What? You know, I've had the new Seattle summer sombrero.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had it with me now for the last few weeks, and I've been rolling it up and stuffing it over here and stuffing it over there. And I'll tell you, it's not like perfectly round anymore.
Sure.
But it's doing its job.
Yeah.
It's doing what I need it to do.
Absolutely.
So I'm really enjoying that hat this summer.
And those are light too, nylon, right?
Super light.
Yeah.
You got to be careful with them because they got some Velcro in them.
Mm.
So you want to make sure that Velcro doesn't, like, I stuff mine on the inside of my Kilimanjaro jacket.
Right.
And that Velcro wants to eat up the interior liner of that jacket.
Makes sense.
So you got to be careful about how you store it so it doesn't shred your other gear.
Right. Well, speaking of gear, and we talked about keeping the vents open and keeping your gear on and that kind of thing, but one thing that you do want to keep sealed is your wrist cuffs, because I've had a few incidents where I've taken a bug or two, including once a bee up the sleeve.
Had it happen.
Yep, and that's not a good thing. I was fortunate enough not to get stung, but I did get the bee right up the sleeve, and I rode for about another half a mile, and I was like, you know what?
There's a bug
in my sleeve. So I took my jacket off, and sure enough, he was discombobulated, and he was stinging in other directions, but he didn't get me somehow. So.
Oh, he didn't get you?
No.
Oh, it never worked out that good for me.
I know. I'm very blessed.
I got one up in my glove one day and went to take my glove off, and he nailed me right then.
Man.
And he laid on the ground and turned around in circles, and then I had to take a stinger out.
Yeah.
And then my hand just swelled up so big.
Yeah.
The other place I always get them, this is another place to cover up, is your neck.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have these little neck things you can put on, and they kind of work. I carry one with me all the time now, so that if I'm in an area where I know there's a lot of bees, I could put it on. It may seem like it's a little warm, and it probably is, but you can open up the vents on your jacket, and it'll get the heat out that way.
Yeah.
And then it's also nice to have on a cold morning to hold the heat in your jacket. It's a nice little gasket.
Definitely. No, I always go with a neck gaiter. I think they're great. And, you know, if you're riding with a cooling vest, or if you're going to be wetting down your T-shirt or whatever it may be, just go ahead and dunk that thing on the hot day anyway and keep
it
right
around your
neck.
Yeah, you
can do that
too. Yeah. Not as effective as totally covering your core with moisture. You want to do that too.
But as part of the whole plan, you know, you can certainly do that. Keep the bees out and aid in the cooling.
All right. And then I guess I got the last one here, and that is if you are out riding around on your motorcycle, some of us will say, well, you know, I have a beer at lunch or whatever. But, you know, some of these poker runs and things, they have all their stops at these taverns. And maybe you're just a passenger and you don't care. And you have a beer over here and a beer over there and a beer over here. And before you know it, all that alcohol in your body is a really nasty diuretic.
Yep.
And you're peeing all over the place. And maybe you're not getting enough water in you. And then before you know it, you wake up sober and you got really bad sunstroke.
That's right.
So you don't want to go there. You got to manage that when you're out there and not overdo it.
I couldn't agree more. It's a great tip. And I think all in all, those are 10 pretty good hot weather tips. Don't
yeah.
You know? Yeah. Hopefully the
well, we couldn't think of 11.
This is it.
We had to get out of that
sauna.
We
had to get out of the sauna, yeah. We barely made it out alive, that's for sure.
All right, let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll do the close on the show. And by God, you'll get two more tips and tricks. See you in a minute.
Support for Soundwriter and the Soundwriter Show is made possible by
the MotoFit Group, providing track days in both Oregon and Washington. The MotoFit Group helps riders experience the next level of their riding abilities and takes them to the zone where the bike and rider become one. Find out more or sign up for a track day today at themotofitgroup.com.
Hi, my name is Nicholas Furtado. I'm a racer with the WMRC. I'm from Burnaby, BC. And my favorite track to race at right now would be the Ridge. Just because it is a flowy track. It's got long straightaways and tight corners with some long sweepers.
Hello, Matt Marici here with Piaggio Group Americas, all the way from New York City, and you are listening to the Sound Rider Show.
Coasting on into the final segment here on the Sound Rider Show. And like Tom said, that's right. We're going to leave you with two more tips and tricks. But first, an announcement.
I have an announcement. We are going to cut part of the Sound Rider Show at Hood River. I believe it'll be Thursday night.
Okay.
And because we're going to have all our vendors there, and we want to know what they're doing and what's new coming down the pipe from them. You know, a lot of manufacturers, I don't know why they do this, but they release all their new stuff in October.
Right.
So we'll have some of our vendors there. They can tell us about what's new, what's coming, what's happening for them now. We did this a couple of years ago. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I agree.
So the way we'll probably cut it is we'll cut those interviews first. So if you're going to be at the rally, you want to join us Thursday night in the community hall around 7 when we get into that segment.
Yeah, I would love to have some of the listeners in there with us. And it's always great, you're right, to chat with the vendors because there's always some new revelations that come out, some mm-hmm. interesting factoids. And I think what better place to share that than at the rally and on the Sound Rider Show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a special announcement.
All right. Now, the tips and tricks, the two extra ones. You want me to kick it off here?
Sure.
All right. So I got a simple one for you. If you're going to be going to the rally in the Gorge, which certainly we hope that you will be, and you're coming from the great state of Washington here heading down into Oregon, you know, you probably already should be riding with motorcycle insurance, but if for some reason you are taking advantage of that loophole here and not riding with motorcycle insurance, you need it in Oregon. So go ahead and get motorcycle insurance before you come down and join us at Hood River.
It doesn't matter if you're going to rally in the Gorge or if you're going to any other event in Idaho or Oregon
right.
or Canada, you're going to have motorcycle insurance when you're in any of those places. So if you thought you were going to take advantage of the loophole, you got a really small riding area to ride.
That's right. You can legally. you can either stay in Washington or head west to international waters. But if you're going in any other direction, you're going to need that motorcycle insurance. So.
And we know a few people who should have had it, like FC207A Wheels Off the Roadway. That's getting to be a song right there.
Yeah, you got that, and you got the Temperatures in the State song. You have an album before this episode is over.
106 on Route 66.
That's right.
Let's see. Well, my tip is I got going along on my ride a couple weeks ago heading down to Eastern Oregon, and I realized how good I felt. And I don't think I felt that good the last couple of years on a bike as I did. I never really got to the point where I had any pain in my hips or my legs. And, you know, I've always tried all the stretching techniques and all this stuff, but I still wind up tight. I get tied up in my shoulders or whatever. Hmm. And what I've been doing different lately is taking a B12.
Interesting.
Vitamin B12. And B12 has quite a bit of goodness to it where it actually helps all your recovery cells develop. So when you have areas in your body that need to kind of recover, maybe bad knees, bad hip, that kind of thing, you take the B12. And what you eliminate is aspirin or Tylenol
okay.
or Advil. If you can eliminate those three things and move on to, I think I'm taking 500 micrograms.
Right.
You can't actually OD your body. You cannot OD your body on B12. You can read about this in Wikipedia or WebMD and learn more about it. So I take just the 500 micrograms, but I took a 5,000 microgram one the other day just to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And nothing different happened.
Okay. Still positive effects.
No. The only negative effect is your pee smells a little bit, but hey, everybody eats asparagus, so what
That's
the heck,
right,
you know?
Yeah.
But B12, buy it over the counter, get it in any level you want, and take it for 3 or 6 months and tell me if you don't have the same experience.
Yeah, test it out. That's a great tip. Absolutely. You know, and as you mentioned too, you know, with those pain relievers and that kind of stuff, you know, for a lot of people, I think a lot of older people too, that was such a regular prescription.
Yeah.
Take pain relievers. Take it. But now they're starting to find out there's a lot of negative effects.
Yeah, they wipe
use.
Out your stem cell reproduction.
Yeah.
And you need those stem cells
yeah.
as part of your recovery.
So, you know, you always want to be hesitant with that. And if you haven't, if you're doing that and you haven't checked in with your doctor in a while, it might be a good idea to bring that up.
Yep.
All
right.
That's another tip.
Well, there we have it. Oh, you got a bonus tip.
No, that
check
was,
in with your
yeah,
doctor.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
All right, that's our show for August. We'll be recording September down in the Gorge, and we'll see you all back here on the 1st of September.
The Sound Rider Show was made possible by today's sponsors. and the patience of everyone else involved, which is not to say we're doctors. Reproduction of this program in part or in whole is not legal without the express written consent of the podcast owner. But please be sure to share the link with all your Facebook friends. This program is a production of Mixed Media. The content and views of today's guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any major media conglomerate anywhere else in the world, including CBS, NBC, ABC, MotoGP, the BBC, PBS, NPR, the Discovery Network, or the Cartoon Channel. See you next time on the Sound Rider Show.